Hey guys, Footy Focus podcast episode 12. We are recording on Wednesday the 13th of July and joined by my co-host Shahan, who's a bit flat at the moment with the ruse. How are you going?
Hey Shanika, I wouldn't say flat.
Why are you flat?
Probably the opposite, probably.
Relieved?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. Though, like most supporters and the wider AFL public knew that Noble's tenure at the as head coach was on the brink.
Yeah.
And yeah, yesterday it proved like, what we all expected with his sacking, I suppose. But he said it was mutual. But yeah, Sonia Hood had a discussion with him on the Monday and then came to that decision yesterday morning.
So if you haven't already guessed, we've already started the talking point. So were you surprised, number one, with the timing? Or do you think that you think they would have waited till the end of the season?
I don't think he could have waited till the end of the season, especially after Jeff Walsh was... He's now halfway through his review.
Yeah.
But it was a bit confusing. Sonia said that, the review didn't impact... decision to sack him wasn't impacted by his Jeff Walsh's review. But I found that a little bit hard to believe. But it's no coincidence that 2 weeks into the review, he gets sacked.
Yeah.
A little bit surprised with the timing. There was a bit of rumors going around that it was going to happen this week.
Yeah.
But that the players knew going into the Collingwood game, it was his last game.
Okay.
We're not too sure, from outside the club, never know, but just hearsay.
Because that was the best performance, since the West Coast win? Yeah. Maybe the Sydney match.
Sydney match in round three or four. It was competitive performance, so it's a little bit of a surprise for it to happen after a good win, but I don't think it shouldn't have made a difference of whether we won or lost for it to happen. I don't think it would have been silly to not do it after that, regardless. So one win wasn't going to save him. After I don't know what was it, 14 games with 47
at least,
plus,
except for the Collingwood game. So I think we talked about this when Reece Shaw got sacked, but when he left, do you think Noble was given the best chance to succeed?
I think he was given a chance to improve.
Yeah.
I don't think you can judge it on success. I guess success, we can define that as marginal gains, improvements.
The word Noble used.
Yeah, so Noble uses marginal gain. So he, by looking at that, he went backwards in all areas. That sort of thing. And time in front and everything. But we did cut the list pretty deep early on. But we needed to. There was a lot of players that were injury prone on that list.
Yeah.
Like Ahern, Garner, even Durden.
Yeah.
Yeah, McMillan was okay. There was a lot of C graders, McMillan and Pittard and players like that. I think we had to cut it deep. The only players that we probably should have kept are maybe Ben Brown. He's probably the only one who's done well. An argument.
He's been a bit injury prone.
Like Mason Wood's been a whipping boy. I don't think he would have.
I think he just needed a fresh start, probably.
Yeah, and maybe Higgins. Maybe he could have kept his good form if he had stayed rather than moved, because he's. Hasn't had the best career at Geelong.
That's probably worked out for the Roos, that deal.
So Ben Brown's been the only one we actually truly missed. I guess the error was there not picking up a couple more experienced types. Even players like Josh Walker, who's been serviceable. We could have picked up one or two of him.
Yeah.
Even Greenwood, I know he hasn't been that good, but he's still an experienced player.
Yeah.
So, he didn't have the best list to work with, but if he had kept on the same trajectory as last year, where we won 3.5 games, he could have still been in the job.
Yeah. So what about the president, ex-president now, Ben Buckley? So what was his statement at the time Noble was appointed? So, what did you think of that?
Yeah, at the time I thought it wasn't too bad, especially if we had continued development after last year, trying to contend. I mean, it's optimistic, saying we want to be top four in 3 years.
Yeah.
When you're really young list, you really need to get, like Noble said yesterday, those 30 gamers into that 50, 60 game mark, and your 90 gamers into that 100 plus game mark, which we're still a couple of years away. So Yeah, Ben Barkley, and people aren't very happy with the way he left the club.
Yeah.
And the incoming president, Sonia Hood, I think she was on the board, so she was also part of the appointment for Noble. So I think she'll stay, but yeah, Ben O'Mafia is the one that might be next to go.
Yeah. Well, it can't just be Noble. He can't just be the whole problem, I guess.
Yeah, so even though Hood said there won't be wholesale, or Dr. Hood, wholesale changes, you have to expect, like, if the review's halfway done, it's hard to believe one person leaving the club is going to make a difference. So you'd expect most of the assistant coaches to go, we need a new recruitment team anyway.
Yeah.
And maybe some administrative personnel as well.
Yeah.
So
what about, I guess, the relationship with the players? Like, there've been varying reports after the Brisbane loss. I think he maybe went a bit too hard, but then he said that some players were in tears when he told them he was leaving. So
what's the truth? Who knows? You have to be like inside the club to know. But I mean, the way I look at it is that the players can't publicly come out and like say that we're not happy with the coach or be too critical. They're always going to come and support him. Like Jack Siebel said that, but sometimes you can read between the lines and the tone of the players to say that there's a bit of dissatisfaction. And from media reports, that's what comes out, right? Like, Ben McKay, Taron Thomas. I don't know about the Hon Francis thing. I think that's a bit blown out of proportion, but maybe a couple of the other players, they might have not liked it. But, for the next 6 weeks, they're going to have a replacement coach, and we'll see what impact that has. So if they come out and their body language is a lot better and they're playing with a bit more freedom, and it looks like they're enjoying their footy a bit better, then we can sort of make that assumption. His relationship wasn't as great, but But yeah, when he came into the club, he was all about relationships and things like that. So I don't know what happened in the last sort of 6 to 8 months to change that. But
Adelaide and Brisbane would definitely attest to the fact. Yeah, I think everyone's saying that he's going to find a job pretty easily, and he's got a great track. I don't think he's lost to footy, but maybe not just as a coach. He probably won't be a senior coach anymore, probably.
Yeah.
So while we're on the coaches, who do you want to be the next coach, and who do you think?
So firstly, I think for this list, we're sort of in the same position Melbourne were, like when they sacked Mark Neil.
And they went to Bruce and Neil.
They went with an experienced coach with sort of an understudy to coach him long term. So Bruce was there for like 2 or 3 years to help, and then he sort of set the standards, and then Goodwin was able to like continue that. So I mean, that's one path we could take. We could look for someone with experience, which I think would be ideal just from where we're coming, just a bit of stability, and especially with the young administration that is a new administration, they don't have much experience. If Mafia stays there, he doesn't have that AFL background. So, there's a lot of experienced candidates that could provide that stability, that passion, and, Clarkson's the obvious one, but there's also Lyon and even Mark Williams. If he wants to come back into coaching, I reckon he might be a good fit.
He might be the perfect one, because developmentally he's probably the best in the
country. Yeah, success seems to follow him, right? So if we do that Ross Paul Ruse Simon Goodwin style, he might be the one to do that Paul Ruse role, and with like an untried coach as his sort of to hand over to in a few years. Because normally untried coaches are the ones that win premierships, right? Like, look through the past. Yeah, like which recycled coach has won premiership. Maybe Morthouse.
Yeah.
But I guess Clarkson's the ideal candidate. So that's who I'd want really, because he's proven that he can develop a young list and set game plans. But I did hear Hodge talking earlier today that everything needs to be right. You need to have the right people around him.
It can't just be the coach,
So he needs a strong administration and strong assistants that can sort of debate with him.
Well, normally the new coach brings in his assistants, right?
Mm.
So it'd be, and then maybe the CEO, like you said, if Mafia goes, then
Like Robbo's been writing articles about Clarkson and Mark Brayshaw coming, so maybe
package deal.
Yeah, something like that would be awesome if we could get that. Yeah, not too sure if Mafia keeps his spot. Like, yeah. I think he's under a bit of pressure as well now after being on the panel to appoint the Noble. So, even the panel, do you reckon they'll hire external people
it,
to...
It should be.
Yeah.
Like, it should be, I think, Pavlich was part of maybe the Adelaide Review, Dunkstall as well. So there's got to be people outside. Like, there's so many... candidates to do that.
Yep.
Yeah, that's how you get your best count. You can't just have people in-house appointing the next coach, because that hasn't worked the last two appointments.
Yeah, I reckon, like, go for Clarko. I mean, that's the obvious thing. Yeah. So put all your chips in to the Clarko. And try to get him. But if that fails, if he doesn't, if it says no, or go up, another club gets him, then I reckon decide what sort of structure you want the coaching setup to be, whether it's a Ruse Goodwin style or like what happened with Voss with Carlson. So some the sole sort of candidate. And once you do that, set up the panel. I mean, what do you do first? Probably set up the panel. Look for the personnel to fill those vacancies.
What about the priority pick? Because that's obviously a talking point. You think that's a sell for the new coach?
Yeah, Ben Amafio said there's been informal discussions about getting one. Caroline Wilson seems to think we'll get multiple.
Yeah.
So I think it should be like a package deal. But it'll be a selling point for players that we draft and we have to sign on, and also coaches that potential coach that does come. Like, if you look at a young coach and be like Uze or like a Gia, and they want to come, then they might see, it'll be more appealing. For sure, and so that'll be good. So if we do get a pick, it'll be maybe like middle of first round this year and also next year, like two players, two picks like that. Ideally, I'd want pick one. So I think that's still in the still in play, I reckon. I think when you push out pick 19, it's getting a little bit like, what's the point, sort of thing. So we'll see what happens, but. It's looking like we'll get one, regardless of how we play for the rest of the year.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, just quickly on the ducking free kicks. Do you want to mention?
Yeah, so I think big talking point with Ginnivan, especially probably the last 2 months. Is there a way to stamp it out? Because it's like watching some of those, it's really ugly, like that's his first go-to move.
Yeah.
When he gets the ball first, obviously gets the hard ball, but then he's ducked his head. We lost the final when Shuey did that after the siren. So
lowering the body, it's more drawing the high. Yeah, I reckon.
Isn't that prior opportunity?
Yeah, that it is prior opportunity. They changed the rule a couple of years ago, but the umpires don't pay it because it's hard to adjudicate. Because if they get them high, you got to pay the high.
Yeah.
But if they don't get them high, they duck and the tackle's good. They just ball it up.
So anyway. LDU had a tackle on Ginnivan. That and wasn't it was okay, paid.
He had a good day, LDU. Yeah, he probably should have got caught holding the ball a couple more times. Didn't. and he let him go. But I reckon they were all there. That was probably a free kick.
Yeah.
But the one that was good was the Perez one. I don't know if you saw it, but he Ginnivan ducked again and Perez got him perfectly.
Yeah.
I think it was Ginnivan. But the ball spilled out or something, but it was just play on. So
you
got to reward them with holding the ball. But that doesn't happen, so that's why it keeps happening.
Yeah.
They just got to start penalizing the individual now. So if Ginnivan does it again, and it looks like a bit of a duck, umpire just got to call play on.
Yeah, or holding the ball if it spills out, yeah.
But you can't play holding the ball if it's a high. That's the only thing. So you just got to keep playing play on. But if it does, if it's a good tackle and it spills out, holding the ball.
Yeah.
And then just do it for the players that does it, and it'll stop.
Yeah.
And that'll be the end of it. So, yeah. Anyway, we'll move on maybe to the game.
Cambridge, a bit of more positive review this week. So the Ruse just went down to the Pies.
Yeah, so we'll try to be quick. But it was an interesting game. So what do you call it? We were pretty consistent. We kicked 4 goals in each of our quarters. I think started the game, scores were level at quarter time. So in terms of what we did differently, I reckon the domination was through the middle. I thought we were, particularly Devi Zhiniak was just dominating the clearances. We were getting inside 450. There was a lot of just getting the ball quick forward. at all costs. Like even one stage, Jack Siewel tried to kick it and it was smothered, but he was still attempting to move it on quickly. Larky was taking advantage of the lack of key tools, defensive tools, so Moore didn't play. And Mackay was on the other end. Yeah, Mackay was taking advantage of the lack of key tools. So there was only like really Cox really and Cameron.
Yeah,
Majacek's a bit of a smaller forward. But just a better structure as well. I think selection was pretty good. No Josh Walker meant we went with the Larky and Mackay and Cole as forward key backs. And just having Larky and the resting ruck. And Coleman Jones probably plays that ruck forward role a bit better than Cherry. So we could have Goldie, who's also a decent forward, and rotate that. And I thought Bonner was pretty good getting his fist to the ball and closing speed on Elliott. Lockie Young was pretty brave as well with Luke McDonald. He's been improved a little bit recently. Plays better off defense rather than the wing. Yeah, just overall, just players were playing their natural positions a bit better. And that went a long way, I thought.
Inside 50 is 59 compared to what?
Yeah, we've been getting 30s. I think barely getting 40. So that was another... and that gave opportunity to Larky, Zerha, these sort of guys. And we know what they can do when you... Yeah, they're dangerous players and they can kick goals on the given day. LDU was probably the best midfielder from the week, maybe.
Yeah, you got 10 coaches votes?
Him and Petrarca, I think, got 10. Older, I can't remember.
Maybe something like 8 centre square clearances as well.
And then 12 clearances overall. 11 hand passes, if you saw that tweet by Channel 7, who accidentally put instead of tackles. I think we got 11 tackles. Yeah. And 33 disposals. So now he's really broken out this month, and he'll be another draw card of a young coach or any coach that looks to come and sees that this midfield has got potential. Simpkin, another 18 contested possessions, I think 33 possessions as well. And Larky 5 goals and Mackay 7 inches at mark. So there's your like nucleus to build your team around. And
cool. LDU's in what, his 5th, 6th season?
Yeah, like 5th, I think.
Well, you got Powell and Phillips, who I think a lot of people have lost patience with already, but they're, second year?
You
get this kind of growth.
So you got them, Horn Francis, and then you got Paul Curtis, who's shown a bit. Then you add Goda, who we got last year, and then potentially pick one, and then maybe pick 2 or pick 10 this year.
Yeah.
Then you got a really strong developing team there.
So you reckon the Pies played badly, or was it more the Roos?
Pies, they weren't that great, I thought. Maybe it's hard to win 7 in a row, so they maybe just rocked up, thought it was going to happen. They were missing a couple of key players. Like if De Goey played, I reckon we would have got smashed.
More Ruffhead, retired, but
yeah, Grundy and we've got Cunnington and a few players like that as well. Bailey Scott, he was okay against Steele. It was just a couple of errors where he let him have the inside when he kicked that goal. I think Steele, he was just too classy for Bailey Scott there. Too experienced. In the end, that's what won the game, really. Like Adams and these sort of guys. Yeah, Penderbury.
And Coleman Jones, do you think he keeps his place?
I think so, just because Cherry's injured. It's out for the year.
Oh, is he? Okay.
Yeah. He didn't get dropped. He was just injured. So it was just good timing, really. He didn't get too much of the ball, but I think, just giving him some game time and a clear... instructions. It'll be interesting to see selection what Adams does. Lee Adams is taking over. And Stevenson's probably the other one. So
should he get dropped?
Well, he's got injured, so he might be that they might just go injured rather than omitted if he was to go out. But I reckon that's another player that you should play in his natural position. Like playing him a little bit closer. Back, Close to goal. They're probably playing it because the ball's not going in forward 50 much. But I reckon he's one of those players that will start playing better once the team plays better and he's got enough players to feed it out to him rather than.
Last one, was the injury an excuse for the defensive efforts or? Yeah. He's done that before, surely.
Done what?
Like lack of defensive pressure. Yeah, he's not the only one in the comp or your team or our team or any other team, but.
It's weird because, yeah, against Sydney, I think, he had like 8 tackles and like 4 holding balls. So he's got the ability to like actually lay a tackle and get a free kick.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think sometimes if he's not fully concentrating, he does sort of... it wasn't so much hardness. He was just trying to be clever and trying to get the ball under. Yeah. Like, let the player run past him and then scoop it up and go the other way. But sometimes it's just seen... You know what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
But... Yeah, that's not his go, but I think he'll be fine, to be honest.
Okay.
Yeah, well, it was a good 3 quarters, but it's a shame that we couldn't keep it up, but I think that'll come with time, and yeah, Noble said in his presser, like, it'll turn, so we'll see. But we'll move on to Port Adelaide's massive win against Greater Western Sydney.
Yeah, so 8th place Richmond, 9th Saints and 10th Dogs all lost, which kept probably Palms Hopes a bit more alive than they should be. So we've now won 8 out of 11 after the zip and 5 starts. So losses have been away to Geelong, Richmond and Freo. It's not a bad form line. So pressure was really the reason for the win. Plus 11 inside 50 tackles, plus 13 one percenters, plus 20 contested. And we won the territory battle too with plus 28 inside 50s. Giants inaccurate, so 55 points probably wasn't reflective. They did miss a lot of easy shots. It probably should have been a 30-point margin in the end. Rosie was clearly best on ground
again.
Yeah, so
times in a row.
I think he's polled, I think, in every match from round 5 apart from maybe 2.
Well, do you reckon Brownlow chance?
maybe not a Brownlow. I think players need 1 year of votes, and then the next year they get that win. But
you probably need to win a few more games, I think.
Yeah, I think he's maybe top 10 smoky, but 4 goals, 11 score involvements, plus 9 contested possessions from 24 touches, 5 tackles including 3 inside 50s, 4 clearances and 5 intercepts too. So I reckon maybe he's the All Australian team.
Well, yeah, if he's going to be top 10 Brownlow, you'd expect to be
squad at the minimum, I think.
Yeah,
based on his year, like,
I reckon he can get a bench spot.
Yeah, I'd like him, like, Melbourne this week, Geelong, Richmond to come. I'd like him being a bit more involved in those games against, except the bottom 8 teams, but yeah.
So those 4 goals, was he resting forward when he kicked those, or was he just through the midfield?
The first goal of the game was definitely resting, but yeah, the other 3 were just through the midfield.
That's pretty impressive, yeah.
Probably due for a tag as well, I would have thought. Finlayson was pretty super in the ruck. Equal game high, 12 contested, 5 clearances and 9 inside 50s. Butters had 26 in his return. Good to see him back. Hopefully he stays on the park. I think Burton maybe makes the All-Australian squad. He's kept Green to 1 goal, and he's beaten Cameron. He's got a few scalps now.
It's always going to be hard for those types of players to make it, just because they go for the running.
Yeah, he's not going to make the team, I think. Doherty and there's a few others that are ahead. But yeah, he's had a really consistent year, even during our losses. Sam Papel continued top 5 BNF year, 25 plus 10 marks. And yeah, Marshall.
Marshall was Taylor.
Yeah, that was a pretty, future matchup, because they're both young guns.
Two young players.
Yeah, so Marshall kicked 2 in the first quarter pretty quick, but then Taylor was the clear winner after that and probably single-handedly prevented, 70-80-point loss by intercepting and spoiling. And Haynes tagged Lee, and that didn't work. Lee had 11 intercepts, and commentator said at the time, probably put a more dangerous forward onto Aaliyah to keep him honest.
So was Aaliyah, did he play okay?
Yeah, so 11 intercepts. Yeah. He won't get Brownlow votes or anything, but he'll get probably... We get definitely BNF votes.
Mm-hmm.
And Haynes just had no impact. Haynes should be back every day of the week. He's one of their better players. So.
And for the Giants, anyone impress you?
Yeah, Hogan. So he should have kicked more than 2 versus Cleary. A bit inaccurate there. Canelio continued his career resurgence, which has been really pleasing to see. Game high, 7 clearances. So,
do you see McVay coaching them?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to go for him, and that's why he put his hand up for the Roos, I think, to be in the running there. So I think, honestly, if I was Clarkson, if I had the pick of GWS, Roos, who else? Probably that's it at
maybe
the moment.
Essendon
I'd pick GWS if I was Clarkson, because I think they have the best list
out of
the 3.
Yeah. I mean, they've played in the grand final a few years ago, and they've still got that nucleus, so...
Yeah.
Cool. We'll go and move on to the previews.
We'll touch on the Roos.
Yeah, I'll do that one quickly. Yeah, so we played Richmond again after sacking coach. So last time we did that was only a couple of years ago, where Reece Shaw took over the reins after Brad Scott left, and we were able to cause an upset that night. I was there with Chad Cole, front of the show. Yeah, so it was an amazing win. So whether we can replicate that this time around, I think it's a more unlikely. We're going in at $6, I think.
Okay.
But
team changes.
Yeah, this will be interesting. I reckon. I think Stevenson will make way for someone. It will be Horn Francis will definitely come back in.
Good. Yeah.
And I'll probably bring Tyrone Thomas in through the twos, just because we did this to France. Jason.
Give him confidence, right? Yeah. As well.
And Horn Francis played a ripper game as well. Well, reports. I didn't watch it. Yeah. I saw some highlights. 31 touches, 6 marks, 1 goal. Yeah, so whether he needed that to get his confidence and just map fitness is unknown. But regardless, it's we know he's coming into the team in good form. Maybe Josh Goda might make a debut. I think Eddie Ford, maybe. But the team played all right, so it's hard to see too many changes.
Dawson, the mid-season recruit.
Yeah, he played pretty good as well. 16 touches, I think 8 marks, a few intercepts. So. Yeah. Ideally, I'd want to have him in so he can take a tall or intercept with Mackay and have Core as that third tall.
It's better structure, I think.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. And with no Josh Walker in the team. But again, I think Patch Adams' game plan will be high pressure, similar to what Reece Shaw brought. So wouldn't be surprised if we hunted the ball, got the ball in forward 50, and Goldie, Larky, and Zerha can hit the scoreboard. Mackay keep intercepting. I think Tom Lynch goes out for the Tigers, but Noah Bolter comes back in, so the I think Bolter is underrated, so it's going to be
Mackay Rebolt or Mackay
Bolter. Probably go with I'll go Core with Rebolt. Maybe Mackay Bolter to the resting. I don't know, have a resting ruck, do they? Yeah, maybe to Bolter. And
they have no ruckman this week too. I think Soldo and Nanka both out.
Yeah, we'll see. I think Nanka might play, they were saying. They'll get Cochin back and Bluston back. So they get a few, some good players back, but they do lose someone else, I think. Martin. And
Martin's out.
Yeah.
So who plays on Shea Bolton?
Yeah, this probably is the one. I think, he's probably the one who's going to cost us the win. Really don't have anyone to go with him. I think Bonner's probably not agile enough, and maybe Scott's probably not quick enough. But yeah, I'll probably send Bonner to him first. Maybe if Kane Turner comes back in.
Yeah.
He can take him. But if we keep Bolton quiet, I reckon it'll go a long way to us getting close. Midfield battle will be interesting with Simkin, LDU, Greenwood. And Tom Powell, I'd like to see Adams give Powell a bit more midfield time. So it'll be interesting to see the teams and how we structure up and who he gives, which positional changes. But I'm tipping Richmond. I think they'll just do enough to get the win.
Yeah, even after the loss versus Gold Coast last week.
So another must win for the Port Adelaide.
Yeah, it's must win every game. So playing, I think we're away to Melbourne at TO in the Northern Territory Sunday Arvo. I would have said Lysett comes back in, but he's got an infection in the shoulder, so he'll stay out. And I think we'll stick with Dixon and Finlayson versus Gordon and Jackson. Hayes not. Up to it in terms of form at the moment. So we can definitely keep up around the ground. I like those guys tagging, Gorn and Jackson around the ground, but a bit nervous about the clearance dominance because Darcy probably won Freo the match a couple of weeks ago. So only Lysett, Dumont and Fantasia probably missing from our best 22 at the moment. So I guess the key with playing Melbourne, key forwards, Marshall, Dixon, Georgiadis just can't get outmarked. If they do, we lose.
It's probably not bad having, back to your ruck, just Dixon Finlayson. It's a bit greasy, right, up in
there. Yeah, I think, if there's any ground, we go with no ruck.
Yeah.
That'll be the ground. So I think Hibbard goes to Gray. Sampa, Pepper and Mead have really important roles versus Salem and Brayshaw, who really give them drive and intercept. So they've got to keep those guys accountable. Just might bypass their tours going forward, lower the eyes, hit them up, switch angles like Geelong did. Don't just kick it, down the line to May and Lever. Oliver's out just this week, which is pretty lucky for us.
Yeah, they're like game streak.
Yeah, 170 or something.
Ridiculous. Yeah, it's got a hand injury.
Yeah, he's probably Brownlow favourite too at the moment. So I think Drew resumes his tag matchup versus Petrarca. Jonas goes to when he's forward. I think Wine's Viney. I think two best mates growing up, the matchup in the midfield. I think Harms has finally got to be a tagger that goes to Rosie. Amon tags Langdon. He had the job on Whitfield last week, kept him quiet. Butters versus, I think, Dunstan comes in for Oliver and Boak and Sparrow. Aaliyah, Houston and DBJ. Got to take advantage of the D's forwards because that's their weakness at the moment. So I really expect, you know, intercepts and drive off half back. I think Burchin goes to Fridge, Cleary on Brown. Aaliyah goes to the resting ruck. Pickett's probably the danger for mine. So I think Riley Bonner stays out, and I think Jace Burgon goes to him because, 65 kilograms, but he doesn't lose one-on-ones, and he's probably the one guy that has a pace to go with Pickett.
That's a big responsibility for a second gamer. He's very light, so Pickett's pretty strong for a small player. So
that's a worry, that matchup, to be honest.
Yes, but there's not a lot of players that can go with Pickett. He's got that pace. It's going to be a closer game than people think, I reckon. They've been in a little bit of... they've been win-loss, haven't they, like for a while?
Yeah.
But Port Adelaide, I don't know. I still reckon Melbourne, maybe just too much
experience. You can't experience. Tip against Melbourne, I don't think, unless
you're a Port supporter. And TIO is their second home, right?
Yeah.
Is it? Not yours.
What's their home? Yeah, their home ground.
Okay.
Move on to the tips. So, you are... I made up 1 point, but you're still three ahead. So, you'd have to fall over or, I don't know, tip Port every match or tip the Roos to lose from here.
Mm. Well, if you stop tipping Port, you would be...
that's not going to happen. Too stubborn. So, move on to round 18. So, start with Friday night. Western Bulldogs hosting the Saints at Marvel. I've got the Saints. I think the Tours are just too good for the Dogs. Rory Loban, Liam Jones, might be good additions there for the Dogs. Desperately need some support.
I think I went for the Doggies. Yeah, I did my tips in the morning, but I just think St Kilda's form is just being too hot and cold.
Yeah,
got run over by the Doctors at home last week, and I reckon the Doggies, they're hot and cold as well, but I think they can the midfield can overpower the Saints mid and get a win.
Yeah, it's 8 point match. Saints are 4 points ahead. Saturday, Adelaide hosting Collingwood at Adelaide Oval. I've got Adelaide for the upset. Pies, 7 in a row, and they are due for a loss at some point.
Yeah, they do. They travel really well, so that's the only reason why I'm tipping them.
Okay.
Nothing else.
GWS versus Brisbane at Manuka. I've got Brisbane. I don't think they're a flag threat, but, five inclusions from health and safety protocols will, help them.
Yeah, they probably should have won last week if they hadn't had all those outs late.
9 outs,
I reckon Brisbane as well. I agree with you. They're probably not going to win the flag this year, but they'll be up, able to take care of the Giants.
North Melbourne hosting Richmond at Marvel. I've got Richmond, but I think it'll be a lot closer with Lich, Martin. I think Lambert's out as well.
Yeah, I reckon anywhere around that 20-point margin will be a win for us. Maybe a sneaky chance, but it's way more unlikely than likely.
Carlton versus Geelong at MCG, probably the game of the round. Geelong, I think they're the best team in it. And, I think their growth's come from, Atkins, Holmes, Close. Like bottom six players playing really big roles.
Yeah, they never go away Geelong, don't they? I'm going to go Carlton, I reckon. Actually, I went for Geelong. I think I did go for Geelong, sorry. I reckon Carlton coming back from Perth, I think that might take a little bit of a toll. And Geelong would just flex their muscle with their experienced players like Hawkins and Cameron.
Freo versus Sydney at Optus. I've got Freo just too hard to tip against them at home. Fife's just the ultimate break glass mid at the moment.
Yeah, it's such a luxury having him as your break glass. Mm. But Freo as well.
Cool. Sunday, so Hawthorn versus West Coast at the G. I've got a West Coast upset here. I think they are due for a win and they've been trending in the right direction for a few weeks now.
Yeah, they sort of stopped running though after, I think, three-quarter time. That's the same as the young teams just can't seem to go all four quarters, say. So now I reckon Hawthorn, they might get two in a row here. Close win.
Melbourne versus Port at TIO. I've got Port as always.
Yeah, Melbourne Jess though.
And to close around, Essendon versus Gold Coast at Marvel. I've got Gold Coast to continue their high. I think everyone's second favourite team at the moment. And I think Collins stopped his ex-teammate Peter Wright, and I think that's their avenue to a win.
I reckon Essendon for me, I reckon they just pick up some junk time wins when it doesn't really matter. Coming out off from a really exhilarating win after that Noah Anderson goal, I reckon they can, sometimes young teams can have a downer after that. So yeah. Because of that and Essendon just doing Essendon things, I reckon might win this one pretty comfortably. Like, watch out for Stringer to kick like five.
So we've got four different, so I could be up by one and you could be up by seven.
We could split it. That's not the only, like, oh. We could split it though, like two and two. So, and we'll get the same.
Yeah, we'll see. I think you'll be ahead next week, anyway. So we'll close it there and see you guys next week.
See ya.